Mass. The introit, taken from the book of Ecclesiasticus, celebrates the sublime wisdom of St. Paul, who is the ever-pure source whereat the people of God drink instruction and strength, and so prepare their souls for eternal life. Introit. He hath given them the water of wisdom to drink. Alleluia. This wisdom shall be strengthened in them, and shall not be moved. Alleluia. And it shall raise them up forever. Alleluia. Alleluia. Praise the Lord, and call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the Gentiles. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, the Church gives thanks to God for rendering her fruitful, and thus giving her, every Easter, a mother's joy. She then prays for her new children, that they may have the grace to persevere in the imitation of their risen Lord. Collect. O God, who by a new increase dost continually enlarge thy church, grant that thy servants may keep up, by their manner of living, the mystery they have received by believing. Epistle. Lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. In those days, Paul, standing up, and with his hand bespeaking silence, said, Men, brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fear God, to you the word of this salvation is sent. For they that inhabited Jerusalem, and the rulers thereof, not knowing him nor the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, judging him, have fulfilled them, and finding no cause of death in him, they desired of Pilate that they might kill him. And when they had fulfilled all things that were written of him, taking him down from the tree, they laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him up from the dead the third day, who was seen for many days by them who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who to this present are his witnesses to the people. And we declare unto you that the promise which was made to our fathers, this same God hath fulfilled to our children, raising up Jesus Christ our Lord. This discourse, which was made at Antioch in Pisidia, in the synagogue, shows us that the doctor of Gentiles followed the same method in his instructions as did the prince of the apostles. The great subject of their preaching was the resurrection of Christ, for it is the fundamental truth, it is the fact above all others, which proves the divine mission of the Son of God upon earth. It is not enough to believe in Christ crucified, we must also believe in Christ risen. The resurrection is not only the indisputable fact on which rests the whole certainty of our faith, but it is also the dogma which energizes the whole Christian world. Nothing ever happened on this earth which produced a like impression. See how throughout the whole world it is now celebrated by millions of men of every race and nation. 19 centuries have passed away since the relics of St. Paul were first laid in this tomb on the Ostian Way. During that time, how many events have happened, which in their time were looked on as of momentous importance, and are now completely forgotten? For more than 200 years, the storm of persecution was almost ceaseless over Christian Rome. It even became necessary in the 3rd century to remove these sacred remains, and hide them for a time in the catacombs. After this came Constantine, who built this basilica, and erected the triumphal arch near the altar, under which lies the body of the apostle. Since then, how many changes have taken place in the world? Dynasties, empires, forms of government have succeeded each other, and only one institution has stood unchanged, the church. Every year, during these 15 centuries, she has gone to the Basilica of St. Paul, and there, near his tomb, has read this discourse in which the apostle proclaimed the resurrection of Christ to the Jews. Seeing such perpetuity, such unchangeableness, even in things like this, we cannot help exclaiming, "O truly, Christ is risen. He is the Son of God, for man could never have given duration to any work of his hand." Our Pasch alone tells us who Jesus is. Let us learn from the circumstance suggested to us by today's epistle how the dazzling beauty of our risen Jesus is reflected even in the minutest details of our happy worship, the liturgy. Gradual. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice therein. Let them now say so that have been redeemed by the Lord from the hand of the enemy, and he hath gathered them out of the countries. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord hath risen from the tomb, who for our sake was nailed to the cross. Sequence. Let Christians offer to the paschal victim the sacrifice of praise. The Lamb hath redeemed the sheep. The innocent Jesus hath reconciled sinners to his Father. Death and life fought against each other, and wondrous was the duel. The King of life was put to death, yet now he lives and reigns. Tell us, O Mary, what sawest thou on the way? I saw the sepulchre of the living Christ. I saw the glory of him that had risen. I saw the angels that were the witnesses. I saw the winding sheet and the cloth. Christ, my hope, hath risen. He shall go before you into Galilee. We know that Christ hath truly risen from the dead. Do thou, O conqueror and king, have mercy upon us. Amen. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus stood in the midst of his disciples and said to them, "Peace be to you. It is I, fear not." But they, being troubled and frighted, supposed they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me to have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they yet believed not, and wondered for joy, he said, "Have you here anything to eat?" And they offered him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And when he had eaten before them, taking the remains, he gave to them. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that penance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all nations." Jesus shows himself to all his apostles on the evening of the day on which he rose from the grave, and he greets them with the wish of peace. He wishes the same to us during this feast of the Pasch. He desires to establish peace among us, peace between man and God, peace in the conscience of the repentant sinner, peace between man and man by the forgiveness of injuries. Let us welcome this wish of our risen Lord, and jealously preserve the peace he thus deigns to bring us. At his birth in Bethlehem, the angels announced this peace to men of good will. But now it is Jesus himself who brings it to us. For he has accomplished his work of pacification by dying for us on the cross. The first word he addresses to his apostles, and through them to us, is peace. Let us lovingly accept the blessing and show ourselves to be, in all things, children of peace. The conduct of the apostles on this occasion deserves our attention. They believe in their Lord's resurrection. They eagerly announced the great event to the two disciples of Emmaus. But how weak is their faith? They are troubled and frighted at Jesus' sudden apparition. And when he graciously permits them to handle him, they are overpowered with joy. And yet, there is a certain inexplicable doubt still lingering in their minds. Our Lord has to condescend even to eat in their presence in order fully to convince them that it is really himself and not a phantom. What a strange inconsistency there is in all this. Had they not already believed and confessed the resurrection of their master before receiving this visit? We have a lesson to learn here. It is that there are some people who believe, but their faith is so weak that the slightest shock would endanger it. They say they have faith, but it is of the most superficial kind. And yet, without a lively and vigorous faith, what can we do in the battle we have to be incessantly waging against the devil, the world, and our own selves? He who wrestles with an enemy is desirous to have a sure footing. If he stand on slippery ground, he is sure to be thrown. Nothing is so common nowadays as unstable faith, which believes as long as there is nothing to try it. But let it be put to the test, and it gives way. One principal cause of this weakness of faith is that subtle naturalism, which now fills the atmosphere in which we live, and which it is so difficult not to imbibe. Let us earnestly pray for an invincible and supernatural faith, which may be the ruling principle of our conduct, which may never flinch, and may triumph over both our internal and external enemies. Thus shall we be able to apply to ourselves those words of the Apostle St. John, quote, "This is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith." End quote. Footnote. First letter of St. John, chapter 5, verse 4. In the offertory, the Church speaks to us, in the words of the royal prophet, of the fountains of water, which sprang up at the thunder of God's bidding. This voice of the Most High was made known to the earth by the preaching of the apostles, and, in a special manner, by that of St. Paul. The fountains are the baptismal fonts, from which our neophytes came regenerated unto life everlasting. Offertory. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High sent forth his voice, and the fountains of waters appeared. Alleluia. The Church prays in the secret that the sacrifice she is about to offer may aid us to pass safely on to that infinite glory to which baptism first opened to us the way. Secret. Receive, O Lord, we beseech thee, the prayers of the faithful, together with these oblations, that by these duties of piety they may pass to eternal life. In the communion anthem, we have St. Paul himself speaking to the neophytes and telling them what manner of life they must henceforth lead in order to resemble their divine model, their risen Jesus. Communion. If you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Alleluia. Mind the things that are above. Alleluia. The Church makes the above words of the Apostle the subject of her concluding prayer. She begs that her new children, who have just partaken of the Paschal mystery, may persevere in the new life of which this holy sacrament is the chief support. Post-Communion. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that the virtue of the Paschal Sacrament, which we have received, may always remain in our souls.